Okay, in our time, I'm going to be looking at a verse that we'll be looking at this Sunday morning from Mark 8. Mark 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. The thing we're going to look at tonight briefly is what deeply moved Jesus. One of the amazing mysteries that we love about Jesus is that he is fully God and fully man in one person. And the implications of that are very relatable because we are fully human, but they're also way beyond anything that we can fully grasp or even explain. What does it mean that Jesus, who is God, had human emotions, had a heart that was moved? We're going to look at that a little bit just based on what God's word itself says. So Mark 8, 1 through 3, it's in verse 2 that he talks about how he is moved. The little phrase, "I have compassion," that's the word. So Mark 8, 1 through 3. "In those days, the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar.'" So Mark 8, 2, Jesus says, "I have compassion on the multitude." That's our word is embedded in that. So when Jesus sees these people, this multitude, this is the feeding of the 4,000. He sees them and he has compassion on them. And as we noted maybe two or three weeks ago, in the feeding of the 5,000, that word has compassion. It connotes sympathy. It has the connotation of pity. It has the sense of being deeply moved. So it's not that he just looks at them and says, "Oh, I guess they need some help." Or that he just has this superficial flutter of, "Oh, I wonder if they could use a bite to eat." But he's deeply moved. His heart is really engaged. And so for Jesus to have compassion on the crowd, what we're hearing here is that his human emotions were engaged with care, with concern for the people who were in front of him. He looked at the people. He felt something. He had a heart for them. So our question for tonight, as we briefly look through this, is what kinds of things or what kind of situations, what deeply moved Jesus? Let's look at some other places in the book of Mark where Jesus is deeply moved with compassion. So first of all, there is Mark 1:41, and there you may remember from earlier weeks, that's the leper, the man with leprosy. So Mark 1:40 and 41, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus," and here's our word, "then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" So here, Jesus is deeply moved by this man, the leper. And as you'll recall, for this man to have leprosy, you've got a bundle of things going on in this guy's life. He is socially rejected. Literally rejected socially. He cannot interact with people. He's also low. You don't hear about people who are prospering in their leprosy, building a big business, having a thriving field. They're outcasts. They're often, it feels like, beggars and just scrabbling about on the edges of town. And they're suffering. Leprosy in and of itself was a medical condition. They were suffering. So the leper had to live apart from society. The leper had to always be warning people to get away from him. The leper was permanently in a low place. And when Jesus saw a person in that situation, he was moved. He was moved. Secondly, Mark 6, verses 33 through 34, the 5,000. Mark 6:33 and 34. There it says, but the multitudes, this is the 5,000 men, and probably in addition to that, another 8,000 women and children. The multitudes saw them departing, and many knew Jesus, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them, before the disciples, this multitude got there, and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and then here's our word, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Okay, so here, in the second example, who moved Jesus? What caused Jesus to be moved? It says, this crowd of people who were shepherdless. They were there. They needed to hear teaching from the Christ. And they showed up for that. They needed someone who would protect them. Someone who would tend them, who would take care of them. They're there way out in the wilderness. And when Jesus sees the ignorant, the hungry, the vulnerable, his heart is moved. His heart has feelings when he sees them. Okay, so thirdly, Mark 8, this is the passage we read at the beginning. This is the multitude of the 4,000 people. And so this is probably 4,000 people total. So it's a smaller group than the 5,000 plus probably 6,000 to 8,000 more. This is a smaller group than those 5,000 men. Likely, these 4,000 people are Gentiles. There's a strong case. We can't be insistent, but it really seems like that these are Gentiles. So this is a little bit different. It's not just same song, second verse, large crowd of people. Likely, they are Gentiles. Jesus is moved because they have hung with him for 3 days, it says. They've willingly listened to him talking for 3 days, and now they're hungry. And when he takes stock of, wow, the last 3 days, these people are all still here. They've been with me this whole time, listening to me teach and preach. He sees them, and it moves his heart. All the listening, all the teaching I've poured into them that they've gladly hung with and received. And now they're hungry. People who are spiritually hungry, they're outsiders, they're Gentiles, and now they have physical needs. They actually just need to eat. He's moved by that. His heart is engaged. He has compassion for them. Fourthly of all, Mark 9. Mark 9, verse 22. And I'll read verses 20 through 25. This is speaking of a father who has a son who is afflicted by an unclean spirit, possessed by a demon. So it says, Mark 9, 20, then they brought him to Jesus, to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he, Jesus, asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion. There's our word. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. So here in this situation, who is it that moves Jesus? The demon-possessed child. Young ones who are under the power of darkness. Young ones who are being harmed by the enemy. Young ones who are under the influence of evil. So let's pull this all together. Jesus sees people who are hungry, people who are tired, people who lack food, physical food, people who are lacking good leadership in their lives, people who are outsiders, people who are generally rejected by the rest of the group, people who are considered untouchable, literally untouchable. Maybe they have an infection, maybe they're socially untouchable. You just wouldn't associate with them. It would be bad for your friends to see you associating with them. People who are in the crushing grip of evil, people who are without resources, people who are not like Jesus. When Jesus sees them, he gets emotional. His feelings are moved, and he acts. He meets their need. He alleviates their suffering. This word that's used for having compassion or being deeply moved, it is almost solely, exclusively used to speak of Christ, or is used of God, or the character who's representing God, if it's in a parable, of God being moved by someone who is sinful, someone who's needy, someone who is fallen. So we looked at all this. We've seen how Jesus responds over and over and over and over. How about us? Sometimes when we see people, whether they approach us or we see it, it's in front of us. Sometimes we want to avoid seeing suffering and need. It's painful, and we feel powerless. Sometimes we want to avoid seeing suffering and need. Sometimes we're irritated. We're irritated by those who are begging, requesting help. We're skeptical. We're suspicious. We think it's a scam, and probably we're being told a lie about the need that is being brought to us. So we're sometimes irritated by those who beg. Sometimes we close our hearts to people who are outsiders. It's just too awkward. They're too weird. They're too difficult to be able to have more than two sentences with before there's just dead silence. And we don't really relate to them, and they don't relate to us. We just close up our hearts to outsiders, and we only consort with those who are familiar, comfortable for us, similar to us. But when you look at Jesus doing this over and over and over, doesn't Jesus surprise us? Instead of looking away from our suffering, Jesus suffered so that we could be reconciled and brought to him. Instead of being irritated at us coming to him again and again, begging for forgiveness, begging for help in our need, Jesus becomes weak and gives himself to the power, the hour of darkness, so that we could get brought into his kingdom of glorious light. Instead of closing his heart to those who are untouchables, like us, Jesus loved us while we were filthy, while we were sinners, and he touched us. He cleansed us by his punishment and by his performance. He completely made us acceptable. The thing that's so surprising about Jesus is that he was emotional. When he saw us, his emotions weren't repulsed. He was deeply moved, and we have been well loved by the most worthy person who ever lived. Doesn't that deeply move you to want to love others?